News Talk on demand. Interruption-free audio. Where you want it, when you want it.
Well, good morning, Saskatchewan. I'm Woodsy here with Rick Van Dyvendyke from Dutch Growers, and welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Hope your Labor Day weekend is going well. Beautiful day around the province yesterday. Hopefully you took advantage of that in the yard. Today, windy, though, in many parts of the province, which makes things a little more difficult. But if you have any questions for Rick Van Dyvendyke, by all means, give us a call at 1-877-332-8255. That's 1-877-332-8255. Calls rule here on Garden Talk, so those take the priority. But if you want to text your questions, you can do that as well. Same number, 1-877-332-8255, and we'll get to as many of those as we possibly can here over the next hour. Rick, Labor Day weekend, time when many are shutting down things at the lake. I'm guessing no different for many folks trying to get things ready for winter. What should they be focusing on right now?
Well, you know what, like, just talking about the weather, I mean, where else in this time of the year you see one day it's plus 28, and next today they're talking about a risk of frost tonight.
Yeah.
So, you know, so you know that the weather's changing. So now you want to be able to, in the garden, you want to be able to slow down the watering of your trees, especially your maples and birches and those kind of, and those plants. But slow down the watering in your cedars, like your upright cedars, like your Brandon cedars. Slow down the watering so that they can start getting ready and a little bit stressed for fall, because you don't want them going with green leaves, especially your maples and your birches. If they go into the winter, when the snow starts coming down, the hard frost starts coming, if they still have green leaves on, then they're going to be in a little bit of trouble for the wintertime. So don't totally shut your watering down, but give them enough to keep them survive, but slow it down. And if you have to slow down the lawn, you also slow down the lawn watering as well, because obviously the sprinklers overspray into the shrub beds, and the bigger trees also get water from the lawn area as well. So you need to slow down and all that. So that's important. And right now, tulips are on the shelves of all the stores. And
oh.
So get your tulip bulbs. Now is the fall planting time for all your tulips, daffodils, crocuses, and even a lot of people are planting garlic. Everybody loves garlic in all their when they're cooking. And so fall is a great time to plant your garlic in the ground, and then you'll have it'll have a head start for next spring as well.
Yeah, this is interesting, because you would think that fall this time of year is when people are really putting their gardens to bed or starting to think about it. And yet for many many things, this is the ideal opportunity to start growing already.
Well, and now with past the heat, it's a great time to plant your shrubs and trees. The garden center still have plants in stock, and you can plant all those plants right up until freeze up. Remember, most garden centers have a warranty on their plants, so they're all going to be fine. And there again, you have a head start on next year, because they'll have a chance this fall for another couple of months yet to get rooted into the ground, and they'll be all set for wintertime.
All right. Well, we already have the texts coming in, and of course, you can call as well if you have any questions for Rick Van Dyvendyke from Dutch Growers. 1-877-332-8255 is the number to call. This is from Mike, I believe. Good morning. I have some bell pepper and some exotic purple cayennes and five color Chinese pepper plants I'd like to transplant inside for winter. Is there anything I need to know?
Yeah, just you have to, if you're transplanting, I mean, it's actually a pretty good time, because with the temperatures at night dropping down, you can do that, but you have to try to take as much roots as you can. So go into a little bit larger pot, and then that way you don't cut most of the roots off and really stress the plant out. And that's all. Just no problem at all. Just dig them up, put in a bigger pot, bring them inside.
Yeah, there you go. And that's another thing, I guess, people are considering what you take when you actually start to move things inside. We mentioned that you can grow outside certain things, but other things you got to obviously take care and get them inside.
One thing I remember is that you're going to take a little bit of earth from the ground outside, but the soil that you're going to put around the bigger pot, around those roots, is use a soilless mix. Don't use soil from the garden, because it'll stay too hard in the house and you won't be have a hard time watering it. So use a bagged soilless potting mix. One there's ones out there for vegetables and herbs, and or otherwise one for houseplants works well.
All right. Here's another text coming in at 1-877-332-8255. Why would my cucumbers end up shaped like gourds?
Well, maybe you put a gourd seed in. I'm not sure, but it could be too. Right? But so, some of them are. You'll see some cucumbers are straight, like a straight eight cucumbers, and other ones have a curve, big tall curve in it. And so it all depends on the variety. If you want straight ones, then you can buy straight ones. But a lot of the cucumbers do have a curve on, like a gourd as well. So that's probably the reason why. It's just the variety you picked up at the seed store when you in the spring.
All right, 1-877-332-8255 is the number to call, and we have a caller on the line right now. Don is on here with a question about his salamanders. Go ahead, Don.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I've found salamanders in my vegetable garden. Is there anything you do with them? Do they harm? What's the story with the salamanders?
No, they're actually good. They go after a lot of insects. So they're actually beneficial to your garden because they do. They take care of, they eat a lot of insects, eat a lot of flies, eat a lot of the ground bugs. They're a great predator for the garden, so I just leave them.
All right. And the next question I had was regards to rhubarb. When can I transplant rhubarb or move it?
Yeah, move it once the leaves turn color after a bunch of few frosts first. Or actually,
right.
The best time, I like rhubarb. I mean, I do it in the fall because rhubarb is pretty tough. But the best time is around the 15th to 20th of April.
Oh, okay, so next spring.
Next spring, that's the best time to move them. But you can move them in the fall. Is it an older rhubarb?
Well, they're a couple of years old, but they're not producing where they are.
Okay, yeah. They need a dry location, so not too wet, and lots of sun. Okay?
All right.
So the wetness is a key thing. They do not like to be in a really wet spot, so very, very little water they need. And
What about fertilizing them when you transplant? Any type, or should you? Or
Not really with rhubarb. If you want, you can just use a bit of bone meal around them, and they'll love that. But that's about all you really need to do with those.
Our soil has got a very high pH. It's 7.5 or better.
Oh, that's pretty high, yeah. You put a little bit of aluminum sulfate in the hole as well.
All right.
That'll help big time. Yeah.
And the same for the lawn as well?
That's too high a pH for all plants.
So what does he do about that?
They're still surviving.
They're still surviving, yeah. Rhubarb is tough. I mean, they'll live almost anywhere, but the biggest thing they hate is a lot of water.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much for your call, Don. Really appreciate it. 1-877-332-8255 is the number to call. I just love a rhubarb with a strawberry. Strawberry rhubarb pie.
The best.
Doesn't get any better than that. All right. We go to now Julian. Julian, are you standing by? Go ahead. I don't think we have Julian on here, James. All right. There we go. Here. Julian, how are you from Melville? Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, everything was good. I almost thought I died. Anyway.
Well, we're happy to hear you're still with us.
Well, I wasn't. I didn't have the radio on. I'm talking over the car anyway. Rick, you were saying last week about planting peas and carrots and that in the fall. When's the best time? Like now or wait a little bit till the end of September so you know they won't basically germinate in case it warms up again?
I wait until October.
In October?
Yeah, or the very end of September.
Okay, and the other thing, another question. I'm looking at thatching my lawn this fall and then putting down my urea fertilizer and greasy, sprinkling seed to just kind of thicken it up a little bit next spring when instead of me walking out there in my skivvies in the last snowfall of the winter so I can get it on so the snow takes it into the ground.
Yeah, thatching the lawn is okay. I'm not a fan of thatching in the fall just because all that thatch protects the roots of the grass for the wintertime.
Okay.
A lot of winters now, we're not getting snow almost till Christmas, right?
Yeah, that's
so,
okay.
So that's an issue if you dethatch now.
I don't want to throw my truck chains on.
Yeah, exactly. So that's an issue about dethatching. I like dethatching in the spring. It's better for the plants.
Yeah, but you talked about the vegetables, and I thought, what other, like, we've got peas and carrots and that, so what other cold weather vegetables? Garlic is a cold weather one. Radishes?
I've never tried radishes, but radishes should work. I've never tried it. You want to make sure they don't germinate. They should be fine, too. But yeah, garlic is a great one. Garlic loves to be planted in the fall. We sell a lot of garlic bulbs in the fall, and people put them in because they got a head start next year for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Julian, thank you very much for the call. Let's now go. We got to take a break here, but let's take one more call here from Barry in Emerald Park. Good morning, Barry. Go ahead.
Morning, gentlemen. My question for Tim is to do with green ash trees. Yesterday, we took the time to prune off some what we call what was dead wood on there. And when we cut them off and we noticed that some of the branches had like perforations around the branch in a circular pattern. And I'm wondering, is that a bug of some sort, or what is it, and what might be able to do about it?
Were they in a circle?
Yes, they were.
Yeah, that's a woodpecker. Just look, because your dead branches attract lots of insects into them. And there's a woodpecker going after them if they're in a circle like that.
Yeah, they're quite small holes.
Yep. Yeah, that'd be a downy woodpecker, most likely, or a little woodpecker. And then, like I said, especially dead branches, they'd love to go out there. But if they're in a circle and in a uniform pattern, that is not a bug. It's the woodpeckers.
Okay. But like I said, getting back to the dieback, we've noticed this year that there's been a significant amount of dieback on those green ash. And just, is that some cycle that it goes through, or is it, you know, environmental? Or?
It's a drought. It's a drought. Even mine on my acreage, I have a bunch of them that are just leaves are crispy on them, and I lost a bunch of leaves. And then I have other places in the other areas where closer to my mound or place where my waterfall overflows to, they're green as grass and not a problem at all. So it has this year, I would believe it's probably drought that's causing them. I mean, old age does do things. I mean, ash does lose some branches, but most of it's stress related to either high pH in the soil or drought.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much for your call, Barry. Appreciate it. 1-877-332-8255, the number to call if you want to reach Rick Van Dyvendijk from Dutch Growers. We're going to take a break, but we'll be back with more on Garden Talk here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome back to Garden Talk. Woodsy here with Rick Van Dyvendijk from Dutch Growers. And our number, if you want to reach Rick, 1-877-332-8255 with your gardening questions. Yeah, we were talking earlier, Rick, about the thatching, and you weren't a fan of thatching in the fall. And I did have somebody ask me about actually laying down seed and whether you can do that this time of year, or do you wait till the spring?
Well, you can do it right now this week yet, because it'll still grow in 5 to 7 days and then still be viable for the wintertime. But if you can't do it in the next week, then you should wait until about the middle of October. Then you can put it down, and then it'll just sit there, and then it'll germinate first thing in the spring with the moisture from the snow melt.
All right, that is good to know. Let's go to Jean in Regina, who is on the line right now with a question about her geraniums. Go ahead, Jean. Good morning.
Good morning. I have six geranium pots, which perform beautifully. Can I leave them in the pots once they sort of die off and keep them in my cold room or garage until spring and start them over?
Yeah, absolutely. Get them before the really hard frost. You know, like a little light frost is fine, but before a hard, because a hard frost will kill the plant completely.
Right.
So before a hard frost comes, trim them down to about 6 inches off the ground or so, 4 to 6
right.
inches off the ground.
Right.
Trim them right down and then put them inside and then water them sparingly about once a month just to keep them alive.
Right.
So the soil doesn't dry right out, but I don't want to force them growing until January. Then in January, you can put them into the light and then start them growing again. And then once you start growing them again, you'll get all those new little shoots up, and then you can start taking cuttings and starting new plants.
Okay. And when I do start in January, do I add any bone meal or fertilizer?
Yeah. Absolutely. Start watering and start giving fertilizer. Bone meal is a perfect one to get it started up with.
Okay. Great, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you very much for the call, Gene. Have a good day. Let's go to Todd now, who's got a question about his potatoes. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, thank you. I have quite a bit of potato in the ground. I'm just wondering if it'll survive, like, -1 or 2 tomorrow.
Oh yeah, I know. The potatoes are fine. They're underground. I don't take my potatoes out until the ground's ready to start to freeze. The ground itself, but just because they stay fresher in the ground than digging them up. So, in fact, one year I even put a tarp over top of the garden, and I was taking potatoes out in November still, and so but I had an insulated tarp over top. But yeah, definitely you can the few degrees of frost will hit the tops down, but the potatoes in the ground will be fine.
Can I ask one quick question about tomatoes then?
Mm-hmm.
Potatoes or tomatoes?
I still have like 300 plants or so, and lots of greens. Like I was just gonna put like a Mr. Heater and put some tarps over them tomorrow night over the plants.
Did you say tomato or potato?
Tomatoes. In a greenhouse.
Oh, tomatoes in the greenhouse. Yeah, the tomatoes in the greenhouse. You said yeah. Is it warm in the? Is it heated that greenhouse or just cold frame?
Just cold frame. I just was going to put like a propane heater in.
You keep them for a long time. As long as you keep that frost out of that greenhouse, you can keep them in there for a long, long time. Not a problem at all.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, Todd. Appreciate that. 1-877-332-8255 is the number to call if you have a question or a comment for Rick Van Dyvendyke from Dutch Growers. Speaking of tomatoes, this call from Linda in Regina. My tomatoes have a tomato blight. There is a couple of plants that have tomatoes. Are they safe to eat?
Yeah, they'll be safe to eat, but the tomatoes themselves will start turning black. So don't put those, if you're going to save those tomatoes, do not put them with other good tomatoes because it will spread. But the plant, it's very important to pick those tomatoes now if you got blight. And then take a garbage bag and bag, before you pull that tomato plant out of the ground, bag it first with a garbage bag, and then pull it out of the ground, because you'll just spread those spores all over the ground as you leave the garden. So, and then leave them in the garbage bag and tie it up and throw it in the garbage. Do not put it in your compost, because that blight will stay in the compost until next year. So you got to remove all the debris completely, and it's very important.
All right, that's good to know. Question about tomatoes. All right, let's go now to June in Fort Capel. Go ahead, June.
Yeah, good morning. We're having problems with ants in our lawn, and I have been using Ant Be Gone, but I don't think I've got rid of them yet. And okay. Also, I have a plum tree that are 6 years old, no plums, and should we water them in the fall?
Yeah, slow down the watering on the plums now, but water them in about mid-October really well.
Okay.
Do you have another plum in the yard or just the one plum?
Two plums.
Two plums?
Right.
Are they the same variety or are they different varieties?
Different variety.
Good. Okay, that's good. Are they blooming at the same time?
Yes, pretty well.
Okay. Okay, so what you want to do this fall then, or otherwise, actually the best time to do it is in the first week of April.
Mm-hmm.
Just give it a bit of a light pruning, okay? A light
okay.
pruning will stress them, will give them enough stress to actually produce a fruit for you better.
Okay.
And okay. So that's with that one. And the other question was, again, about ants in the lawn.
Right.
Did you use Ant Be Gone? Did you use the liquid or the powder, or did you use the Ant Be Gone nematode?
I've used the spray, and I've also used those little tins.
Is it a little round ball, or is it a little round ball, or is it a tin?
It's a round ball. And you poke holes in the side.
Yep.
And I put that in where the dead grass is, and I've also go about every second day walking the lawn and spraying.
Okay, so what you want to use is an Ant Be Gone nematode. Okay? So nematode is another insect that goes after the ant's larva. Okay, it works way better, but you have to water your lawn really well. You have to soak it down deep, okay? Like really deep down, because you gotta be able to get down to the nest where the queen is, which is down, you know, sometimes 8 to 12 inches in the ground. Okay, so you want to soak your lawn first, spray on the nematodes, then water your lawn again really well, and the little nematodes will go down to the moist soil and start attacking the eggs of the nest, because the stuff you're using right now only goes after the adults, and so the queen just keeps producing new workers.
All right,
so that works the best.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, June. We have to take a break for news, but we'll be back with more from Rick Van Dyvendyke and Garden Talk here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to Garden Talk. Woodsy and Rick Van Dyvendijk from Dutch Growers here to take your questions at 1-877-332-8255. Number of calls standing by. But we're already getting a lot of calls, Rick, about things that people should be doing to get ready for the winter and fall. And you're getting a lot of questions about voles, right?
A vole. It's a type of a mouse, okay?
Oh. Okay.
And because of the drought, the voles have been moving into the yards where it's a little bit more lush to start getting eating, and they figure that this can be a good place to stay for the wintertime. And so everybody knows how you get those tunnels of grass in their lawn all winter, because the voles sit underneath the snow and eat your grass all winter and even eat some of your shrubs. Right now they moved into my yard, and they're going after all my tomatoes. And so they're really hard to get rid of, because you can't get rid of them with just regular poison, because those voles don't eat the regular mouse poison. The best way to get rid of a vole is put a wooden mouse, just a regular old wooden mouse trap you can pick up at the dollar store, and put some peanut butter and a craisin or a raisin on top of them, and put them inside of a shoebox or some kind of a box, because otherwise you don't want to start catching birds with it, because birds will love those raisins and craisins as well. So put them inside of a shoebox, leave some holes to get in, and you'll catch all the voles in your yards in no time at all. Just keep replacing it. Once you catch them, throw them out and set the trap up again, and you'll... A lot of times voles are traveling in a lot of groups, so you'll probably catch anywhere from 5 to 30 voles in your yard if you got a few of them. So start working on those now before they cause a problem underneath the snow in the wintertime in your yard.
See, I like peanut butter, too. I better be careful out there. There you go. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. We've got a number of calls waiting. First, let's check in with Faye in Mooseman. Go ahead, Faye. Thanks for waiting.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I had kind of caught a bit, I think it was last week or the week before, about rhubarb leaves turning bright red.
Yes.
They start with spots and then they turn red. And it was something in the root.
Yeah, it's called red leaf disease. You can look it up in rhubarbs. And it's a virus, basically, in the rhubarbs. And if you have red leaf disease, the only thing you can do is remove those plants and then don't plant another rhubarb in that same location. Plant it somewhere in a different location. But if it's red leaf disease, there's nothing you can do. It's a virus that you can't cure.
Would it spread to, right beside there, I have a big row of asparagus and a big bush of grapes. And the grapes leaves are turning red.
No, it just affects the rhubarb itself. Did this turn red in the middle of summertime as well?
I noticed it really just about 3-4 weeks ago, but the rhubarb, it was really good, but it never did put up flower spikes, and then I just started noticing these leaves
I would suggest just leaving it then, because you may have just had some stress from the drought this year and that, and so especially if you said your grapes are turning red as well, or a red.
Yeah, color. The leaves.
Mm-hmm. So I just leave them, and then, but if they start out next spring, come all green and turn red right away, then you need to destroy them. You need to get them out of the garden, okay? But they only will affect other rhubarb. They won't go into grapes and other plants. They just affect rhubarb.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay, yep, Faye, thank you very much for your call. Really appreciate it, and have a good day. Hope everything works out for you. Let's go now to Balcaris. Carmen is standing by with a question about strawberry plants. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm kind of known for my black thumb, and this year, amazingly, I have a couple of strawberry plants that have survived. They've even gotten shooters and things like this, and they're potted, and they sit on my front deck. Beautiful little plants. I want to keep them and then put them out again next year. How do I winter strawberry plants that are potted? And is it safe to put them in my unheated garage? And what do I have to do to prepare them?
Yeah, if your unheated garage, is it insulated or non-insulated?
Non-insulated.
Yeah, they won't survive in the garage. So
okay, so in a cool room in my basement?
Yeah, and as long as you've got a cool place, and just a very little bit of light, but not much, just by close to a window or something like that, but if a cool place... And then what you got to do is you just water very little, okay, just about once a month type of thing, just like I was talking about geraniums earlier this year. And
okay.
then if you want, you can bring them up out of hibernation around March, okay? And then you can start even growing them inside the house again.
Okay. Do I have to cut them down to a certain length, like you had mentioned earlier with the geraniums and stuff like this?
Not really. You don't need to, the strawberries, you don't. You just want to make sure that they're dry, because otherwise, if you kick any brown leaves that might be dried up leaves, take them off and clean them up that way, so that you don't get any fungals or molds growing in the soil and on the plant itself. So other
okay,
than that, just water them sparingly.
You remove the little shoots, the little stringers that are on there.
Just leave the runners there. They're fine.
If
they're hanging way down the pot, then yes, clip them back so they're just inside the pot, not hanging over the pot.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the call, Carmen. Have a great day. Let's move on here to Saskatoon. Debbie has been waiting with a question about trimming and pruning. Go ahead, Debbie.
Oh, good morning. I have birch leaf spireas and a double flowering plum, and they've done really, really good this year, but now they're way too big. Can I do a hard trim on them now, or?
Not right now. The biggest thing with double flowering plums, if you want to do a hard trim on them, you can trim them when they go dormant this fall or otherwise in the first week of April next spring, okay? The first week of April next spring is the best, but I normally do not like to trim double flowering plum in the spring and the fall because you'll cut all your flowers off.
Okay.
But if you want to do a hard trim, you'll just have less flowers next year, and then the following year you have lots of flowers, okay?
Okay.
So if you're going to do a hard trim, you have to do when it's dormant. If you want to do a light trim on double flowering plum, you do it right after they finish blooming, okay?
So when is it going to be dormant then?
When the leaves drop off this fall in October.
Oh, okay. And then can I, like, really cut it back?
Yeah, absolutely. You can cut it back to, I would suggest cutting a hug. It's probably 5 or 6 feet tall right now, right?
Yeah, it's.
So just cut it down in half.
Okay.
Okay.
And what about birch spireas?
The birch or another name for them is Taurus spireas.
Uh-huh.
You can prune them right now if you want, not a problem. They'll do really well. Actually, yeah, you can prune them. If you do a light pruning right now, if you want to do a major pruning, wait again until the frost knocks the leaves off or turns in color. Because the Taurus spireas are beautiful. I like leaving them until later because right now they're going to start turning really red, right, in the fall. And so enjoy the color.
Okay.
Once the color is done, then trim them down hard.
And so can I go like a foot from the ground?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. That's great. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
There's one technology you got to remember about spireas.
Yeah.
Is do not be afraid.
Okay, so I can just go after them then.
Okay,
thanks.
All right. Well, Garden Talk reaches far and wide. We've got Stan in Alberta here, Rick, with a question about his Mayberry tree. So welcome, Stan. Go ahead.
Good morning. How are you guys today?
Very good.
Say, I got a large, I think it's a Mayberry. It's got little black berries on it that are a real pain. When they fall off, I got it in the middle of my patio. Is there anything I can do about keeping them from producing berries?
There's only one thing. It's called a chainsaw.
That's it.
That's it.
Like, I've been reading a little bit about, like, you can spray the blossoms and stuff and keep them from producing.
You can damage the blossoms, but one thing I don't like doing that for is because you're also going to hurt you. If you're going to spray to damage the blossoms, you're also going to get damage the bees, okay?
Right.
Otherwise, if you're going
to
do that,
you
have to do it in the evening when the bees aren't there. So you can spray even a garden sulfur onto the flower buds. That sometimes will work, too. There is a product down in the States, but it's not available in Saskatoon, which works really well in stopping, you know, unwanted berries. But it's not available in Canada.
I had one I read about was 4L, it was called. I don't know if that, it was probably from the States, so.
Yeah. There is some good ones down the States, but it's just not, they're not registered in Canada.
Yeah, I get it. It's in the middle of our patio, and it's quite nice, but first of August comes, and it's a real nasty. There's a million berries that come down all fall.
Especially in the patio, you're going to make a jam jelly on your patio.
That's for sure. Everywhere.
All right.
That's good to know.
Thank you very much for the call, Stan. Give our regards to folks out there in Alberta. We've got to take a break. A couple of calls standing by. We ask you to hold on. We shouldn't be too long here, but we do have to do this. So we'll be back with more on Garden Talk here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Oh, my goodness. A lot of calls coming in here in Garden Talk at 1-877-332-8255. Woodsy here with Rick Van Dyvendyk from Dutch Growers. So let's get right to them here, and I believe we're going to Elsie in Saskatoon. Go ahead.
Hi there.
Hi.
We enjoy your program very much.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah. We have beautiful, beautiful grape plants, but there isn't one grape on there.
Okay.
Any ideas?
Has this been every year or just this year?
Well, last year either. Last year we didn't, and now this year again.
Okay, do you have your grape plants? One thing you want maybe want to do is if you have all the same variety of grapes, you won't get grape pollinization. So if you have all valiant grapes, you should try to get a betta grape or a bluebell grape or just even one, plant one more grape tree plant in there that's a different variety than what you have, and you'll get a lot more grapes because you'll get the cross-pollinization. Okay?
Oh, okay.
If you have all the same, then you won't get very many grapes.
Yeah, we do. They're all the same.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Get a different variety of grape and plant it in there, and then you'll have better success.
Wow. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Elsie. Have a great day. We're going to get through these calls as quickly as we can, okay? We've got a few of them here in our remaining moments, so let's move along here to Tom in Saskatoon. Go ahead, Tom.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I also have a grapevine question. I trimmed my grapevines back very severely this spring and thought maybe that I had done them in. But they grew back with a vengeance.
Yep.
They're actually, you know, they're on the east side of my shed climbing up a lattice. And they're 6 feet wide and they're 9 feet high.
Yep.
But, again, very, very few grapes this year. But I've had great crops in previous years.
Yeah, and you'll start seeing better crops next year. If you pruned it back that severe, they'll put all their energy into putting the new vine up there this year, and then next year you'll see a lot more grapes.
Okay, so is there a way to trim them back to, you know, keep them from going everywhere?
Yeah, do light trimming as they grow during the season, okay, rather than waiting to do a major pruning right now at the end of the season, okay? So just keep them under control as the season goes along, and you'll have better success.
Okay, so just with the narrower runners that are getting away.
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
Appreciate the call, Tom. Thank you very much. Let's move on here to Susan in Van Gogh. Go ahead, Sue.
I have portulaca really bad in my garden, and I was wondering what I can do with it this fall to kill it.
Pick it. Do not leave it on the ground. Do not put it in your compost. Put it in a bag. I put a pail in the middle of my garden, and every time I see one as they're starting to come up, I pick them and put them into the pail because they throw seed quite a ways away from the mother plant. And even if you pick it and leave it in the garden, the seed will ripen and it'll still spread the seed, okay? So you have to pick it and put it in a pail, and every time you see it, just put it in the pail. And that was my job when I was a kid in the garden, is picking that crazy portulaca purslane, right? And that's the only way. Using chemicals in the garden, I don't recommend. So just picking it, but don't leave it in the garden.
Okay, but there's no chemical to kill it?
You can use 2,4-D, you can use Roundup, but you want to be very careful in the garden, very careful.
Yeah. As in what, not touching the other plants?
Not touching other plants, but also what happens when you spray, even when you kill it with Roundup, the seeds will still be viable and it'll still spread the seeds.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's move on here to Yorkton. Talk to Cheryl. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning. We've got three different apple trees in our yard, and they used to produce a ton of fruit, but the last 2 years they've been rather light in production. I'm wondering what I could or should be doing to make them produce more fruit again.
After the leaves fall off this fall, prune it back a third.
Okay.
And to basically thin it out. You don't need to cut just the top off. Thin it out inside as well, okay?
Oh.
And you'll see, you'll have great results again when you do that. It'll give that plant a bit of a stress, and that stress makes the plant produce more fruit.
Okay. So about a third.
Around a third. And do not fertilize once in the spring, okay? Mm-hmm. And do not fertilize the rest of the year again.
Okay, and what is the best kind of fertilizer for apples?
With that plant, I would just use something like, there's a lot of organic fruit fertilizers for them now, because if you use a 20-20-20, that also makes them produce a lot of growth and not very much fruit. Okay?
Okay.
So I like using something with lower, like around a 10 to 12 nitrogen, and then more phosphorus and potassium in it, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Cheryl. Let's move on. Time for one more call here. Let's go to Spring Valley, talk to Elaine. Good morning, Elaine.
Hi, fellas. I just wanted to ask, Rick, we're going to end up with quite a few small potatoes this year. We can't water here at the farm anymore. But I'm wondering, how will those potatoes keep in storage?
No, it's the same as your large potatoes, not a problem.
Right. That's what I thought. And one other thing, I would like to talk with you about what I did at the farm here with portulaca a few years ago when it worked for me. So I did a real big burn down on it in the fall with Roundup,
yep,
and left it, and then in the spring did again with the stuff that emerged, and I kept that spot fallow that year, and that really did a number on it. Until last year, and this year it's starting to get going again, so I'm going to hit it again this year.
Yeah, the reason why it started getting going again is for, even though you did a Roundup burn off on it, those seeds still germinated, still ripened and went into the ground.
Yeah.
And now, and portulaca seeds can stay many, many years in the ground and come back up again.
Right.
So that's why I like
for a number of years. For a number of years, it really was. Yeah. It's not a problem then.
Good.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. Thank you. That's it. We're out of time. We left a lot of calls and texts out there, Rick, and I know that people can reach you with all their questions. How do they do that?
Just rick@dutchgrowers.com.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions about pruning and getting things ready for the winter and those kinds of things.
And in the next couple of weeks, we'll go more and more into pruning, because that's going to be what a lot of the questions are going to be about.
All right, Rick. Thank you very much once again, my friend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Have a great day.
All right, you too. And thank you very much for listening to Garden Talk here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.